It's time now for the Todd Leonard Show. Leave those negative stories behind as we focus on the positive and hear from those who give back and help others. Let's start your day with some inspirational stories. Now, here's your host, Todd Leonard.
Good morning, everyone. I'm so happy to be with you today on this beautiful Sunday morning. You know, on the journey of giving back each week, I look around, I see who's really doing wonderful things. Last week, we had the Kiwanis Club on, Errol Ernsterman. This week, we have the Mendham Rotarian Club here, the Rotary Club of Mendham. And I have some wonderful guests. We're going to be talking with Fred Corona. He's a legendary basketball coach. He amassed over 500 wins for the Mendham's women's basketball team. State champions in 1998, won 8 county titles in a row, a teacher, a realtor, an all-around great guy. Good morning. How are you doing, Fred?
I'm doing great, Todd. Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me today.
It's my pleasure. And Michael Thompson, an accomplished estate lawyer, also right here in Morris County. Michael, a guy from Mendham, president of the Mendham Rotary Club, a real interesting gentleman. And we're going to explore with him on the journey of giving back, their lives, what made them decide to give back to make the world better, because that's the essence of the Todd Leonard Show. If you have any questions about the show or you want to reach out, you can always reach me at Todd, Todd Leonard Show.com. That's Todd at the Todd Leonard Show.com. So, Michael, good morning as well, sir.
Good morning, Todd. Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much. You know, gentlemen, I have to say, with the time change today, it was a little tricky. You know, I think my cell phone luckily automatically updated. How about you guys? You have the same experience?
Yeah, it was difficult. It was difficult keeping track of the time.
It was a little tricky, right. So, gentlemen, on the journey of giving back, I always like to, not to put anybody on the spot, but I like to talk about your lives and really the journey, because that's one of the fascinating things that I find really interesting is just how everybody's lives goes in different paths and different directions. And what makes someone decide they want to give back? So, Fred, if I may, sir,
sure.
I'd like to start asking some questions. So, since I'm the host, I get to ask the questions. So I also see you have the Mendham basketball sweatshirt on this morning. So in preparation, I have to say a little confession. I'm a basketball crackpot. I love basketball.
I love it.
I coached Special Olympics basketball for many years, and I just love the game. And there was a great athlete who actually helped, Kelly Siminski, who was a wonderful basketball player right out of Mendham. So let me ask you this, Fred, because one of the things in getting ready is basketball. What made you decide to become a coach of basketball?
It almost happened by accident. When I was teaching at Mendham High School, I started out actually in football, in the football program, and I didn't really know anything about football. Like, I never played it. But the coaches, I was friends with some of the coaches, and there was a position open. So they said, why don't you come out and, we'll teach you different things. And then I kind of, I wasn't a very good football coach. I really didn't know that much about the sport. But I loved basketball. And then it made me realize that I did love coaching. And when that position opened up, I applied for it.
Right. So with basketball, did you play growing up?
I played. I wasn't a really good player. I got cut from my high school team. My high school team was state champions, Bridgewater Raritan. And I wasn't good enough to make the team, but I always played, and I played in college and intramurally and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, whenever I could, I liked to play the game. Baseball was my favorite sport when I was younger. And I really didn't even know that much about coaching basketball, but I learned. I had some really good mentors.
Right. Wonderful. And Michael, you know, in my introduction, I happen to be an attorney and you're an attorney. So this is also, once again, not going to be like a deposition. So don't get nervous. But I understand you're an estate planning lawyer. You're helping families. What made you decide to do that?
I kind of just fell into it. You know, I got out of law school. I wasn't sure exactly what I was going to do. And I started with a small firm in New York City that did trust and estates and elder law. I picked it up, and I went to NYU at nights while I was working and got a master's in taxation from NYU to sort of round out my skills. And I've been doing it for 25 years, doing planning and then administration.
You look really young, 25 years. You're drinking from the fountain of youth. God bless you. So, but with the estate planner, because everybody's in a different path in life, whatever the occupations you have, and we'll get to you being a teacher in a moment, Fred, as well. But, you know, Michael, with being an attorney, because there's so many different areas of the law like in life, there's so many different things you can pursue. Was there something that you gravitated to? Why did you want to be a lawyer?
That's a good, at this point, it's a good question. Also sort of something I kind of fell into. It may have been more that my wife was going to law school, my girlfriend at the time, and we went to law school together. She went to Penn, I went to Rutgers in Camden. And we now we're both doing trust and estates, at the same firm, Coughlin Midledge in Garland in Morristown. And it's been, very helpful that she and I can bounce ideas, off of each other and think through problems.
So just so I understand, so your wife is also an accomplished local lawyer. Do you guys ever like turn it off talking about law? Is it just kind of like 24/7?
It probably is closer to 24/7. We work on a lot of the same cases together. I had my own firm for 12 years, and we merged in with Coughlin Midledge and Garland in the fall of 21. My wife had been there. I had been there 14 years before that. So it was a good fit. To finally work, first time we've ever actually worked together on the same cases.
Interesting. Well, fun. Once again, you got me saying interesting more than once. So it's a wonderful firm you're with, and you're very fortunate. They're very fortunate to have you and your wife on the team as well. So Fred, going to your basketball, your legendary status, I was reading you won 8 county championships in a row. Now that's quite an accomplishment. You won the state championship as well. Before we get to the pinnacle in sports for high school girls basketball, what was it like to get 8 county titles in a row? Did you know each season you just were so loaded up, or was each season a challenge?
Oh, certainly each season's a challenge. You know, I think for probably half of those 8, probably for about 4 of them, we weren't even the number one seed. It's not like, you know, going into the tournament, it's like, you know, Mendham's going to be the team to beat. After the first, you know, 4, we probably were. You know, then I think we were probably seeded 1. But it was just, you know, it's a challenge every time. And, you know, you have different players every time. But I was blessed to have some really good players.
Did you find that the lower, let's say the, you know, middle school, was that a feeder? I mean, how'd you get such great players?
Yeah, I mean, that helped, you know, the fact that, you know, we had the Chester school system and the Mendham Borough school system, the Mendham Township school system, we had St. Joe's school. So we actually drew from 4 middle schools, which certainly helped a lot. But, you know, what I would tell people all the time is oftentimes the best freshman coming in wasn't the best senior going out. Like, it was really important that whoever was part of the program just worked really hard to get better.
Interesting. And I know you won the state championship. And this is going back a number of years. What year did you win the state championship?
For the whole thing, the whole tournament of champions? 1998.
Oh, so I was right. Good. Yeah. I just, yeah. You know, making sure. Sometimes the little memory test. Sometimes, Michael, I pass. Sometimes I fail. But I'm glad about that. So what was it like building up? And we're going back a number of years, but do you reflect on it still? I mean, we're now in 2023.
I mean, once in a while, it'll come up in conversation, you know, and stuff like that. And I still have contact with some of the players from that time. But it got mentioned recently because it's 25 years.
Wow. All right. There you go. Was it a magical season? Did you know the first practice you had a chance to be the number one team in the state and win your particular
division? We had lost in the state final the year before, and we lost a couple good players, but we had most of our team back that year. And in one of the scrimmages, we scrimmaged a team, Piscataway, who was a prohibitive favorite to win it all. And the coach came up to me after the game and said, like, if we're a prohibitive favorite, you guys are right there with us, so you have a chance to win it. That's probably the first time in the back of my mind I thought that we could be, you know, at that level.
Yeah. Michael, did you know you're sitting next to a legendary basketball coach?
I learned it over time.
Right. I thought maybe he reminds you every Rotary Club meeting, which we're going to get to. No, but it's incredible. So in my firm, we have a great guy, a part of the team, Henry Enright.
I know Henry well.
Henry Enright was effusive. He was giddy. He was going to maybe come down just to say
great.
Hi. Because, I mean, it's like, oh, my God, this guy, this Fred Corona is the real deal. And one heck of a nice guy. So you haven't disappointed yet. So God willing, we'll maintain that in the highest regard. So gentlemen, you know, we all go through lives, you know, our lives. And we live, you know, we have to take care of our family. And we have to do so many different things. to, you know, make the world better. I feel that very strongly. That's why I love doing the show. So, Michael, you're president of the Mendham Rotary Club. And, you know, each week I bring on different folks. And one of the fascinating things is everybody has a story because, once again, everybody's on a journey. So if you'll permit, I had a little fun with my last guest, Errol. When I said permit, you know, I was getting nervous if I'm going to get the permission or not. But, you know, since it's my show, it's fine. Give me a little permission, a little slack. But your upbringing, what made you decide that you wanted to start to give back, to help others?
You know, as a young person in college, I was involved with groups, New Jersey PIRG, that did work on the environment and good government issues, helping people who were unbanked. And then I went to law school. I didn't, you know, went to work, built a family, built a house, wasn't really connected to my community. And I think, ironically, it was the 2016 election and just how divided we were. I got more involved in my town, but I didn't really know the people I live with. And I was invited to come to a Rotary meeting. Didn't know anything about Rotary. You see the sign when you drive into town. They were meeting every week at that point. Came to a meeting and saw that they were doing good work. They're people from all different backgrounds. They were involved internationally, helping to eradicate polio. Doing projects, helping build a village in Africa, working with a school in India, but at home, involved in food banks and involved with the high school, giving out dictionaries to third graders every year. So it was something that the theme of my life, I guess. I sort of fell into it, but I was, people that have been here, some folks for 30 years involved with Rotary, they welcomed me. And then it just went from there. So I've only been involved about 4 years. Our prior president, stepped away. He asked if I could, step up, and, I've been doing it for 2 years, and it's been very rewarding. It's been a lot of
fun. You know, what's interesting, Malky, you touch on something, I would like to consider. I like to understand people in the human condition. Makes me hopefully understand myself more. And for the listeners, a lot of people live in different communities where they're new to it, or they really don't know their town, or they don't know their neighbors. And you talk about wanting to be involved in the community because you simply didn't know a lot of people. Has it enriched your life by being involved now with the Mendham Rotary Club?
I've just met so many wonderful people. So it's definitely been enriching, but it's just been a lot of fun too. People with different backgrounds. Fred, you know, we have a member that he's been involved for over 30 years, and we talk a lot of basketball because he was on one of the Ohio State teams in the 50s. Jim Laughlin, former president of our Rotary Club. It's just people with very interesting backgrounds, and yet we roll up our sleeves. And you know, last year we were moving mulch around at the community garden that high school students put together. So it's just a lot of fun.
Wonderful. So, Fred, you know, from your perspective, You live in Mendham, too?
I do. My wife and I live in Mendham.
Well, God bless you. And I don't want to leave out your wife either, because I know Michael brought up his wife, you know, lovely, great trial, you know, yeah, great lawyer.
My wife's tremendous. She actually was the impetus for us joining Rotary. You know, we talked about doing some volunteer stuff when we both retire. We're both still working. We figure, if we work in a while, so we might as well start volunteering now. You know, and she was the one who kind of motivated me to, and she's a member of Rotary also, Susan Corona. She's a realtor with Coldwell Banker right in Mendham. She's a fantastic realtor. So, you know, it's another way for us to spend more time together also. Yeah.
So I would be remiss before we move into your teaching background, and we're going to explore in more detail your wonderful commitment, both you gentlemen, to the Mendham Rotary Club and the community, and really making the town better, and which has a ripple effect. And we'll talk about that as well. But one of my young boys wanted me, Fred, to ask you a question. Was it hard being a basketball coach? And I, you know something? My wife's like, you know, these youngsters, they have good questions. And she might have been almost disparaging the host, which it happens. But she was like, you know, our son has a really good question. Why don't you ask, you know, Fred Corona, was it hard being a basketball coach?
It's hard, but if it's something you love like anything else, you know, it doesn't seem like work. You know, you get paid for it, and you almost feel guilty for getting paid for it because you enjoy it so much. And, you know, I've been away from it now. I helped out a little bit this year. I was a volunteer assistant this year, a little bit with the Gill team, Gill St. Bernard's, where I'm teaching now, and with the Mendham team also. And, you know, I saw how much I missed it. Like, I've been away from it for a while, but you still miss it. It's a great profession.
Right. And as a coach, do you still keep in contact with the athletes that you coach, you know, over a quarter century?
Many of them I do. You know, a former athlete just stopped by my house yesterday. She was in town from Massachusetts. And, you know, Christmas is usually time when you might exchange cards or something like that. There's a couple that are local that, you know, we'll hang out for dinner every few months. So I do.
Wonderful. So, Fred, I don't want to gloss over at all. You're a very well-known teacher in the community as well. First at the high school, now you mentioned you're at Gill St. Bernard's, another wonderful school. But at the township school in Mendham, was there a subject you taught?
Yeah, well, I taught at the high school. I taught at Mendham High School, and I taught math, and that's also what I'm teaching at Gill now. I feel very fortunate. Like, I'm not objective at all, but I taught at what I think is one of the best public high schools in New Jersey, if not the best. I just think Mendham High is fantastic. And now I'm at what I think is the best private school at Gill St. Bernard. So, I mean, I'm certainly not objective, but he'd have a hard time convincing me that those two schools aren't great. And I'm fortunate to be at both of them.
What about math? Because, you know, mathematics is a bit of a tricky subject.
I heard that.
My young boys, I have to be honest sometimes, like, wow, they're starting out young and there's some rigorous curriculum. Yeah. So thankfully my wife sits down and helps the kids. But no, but something about math you gravitated to?
Not really. Kind of like Michael was saying, like, it just kind of happens. Like, you know, you're going through school and, you know, what do you want to be and what do you want to do? I never understood, like, any other jobs. I think that's probably where I became a teacher. Like, if somebody said, like, I'm in business or something like that, it's like, well, what do you do? You know, like, I'm a consultant. Like, what do you do when you get to the office? But teaching, you know what you do.
So, you know what you're doing.
Yeah, I gravitated to that.
It's interesting, though. Both you gentlemen kind of, you didn't really have a master plan. It just kind of happened. And that's also one of the, you know, mysteries of life. Because some people think they have this great plan and then, like, life hits you and you realize you got to make a detour and do other things. It's very fascinating. You know, Michael, with your involvement of the Mendham Rotary Club, you've been involved for over 5 years now. You're the current president. And one of the things you also touched on is you have a lot of different folks from different walks of life, different backgrounds coming together. And that's also one of the wonderful things. If the listeners today perhaps want to be engaged in the Mendham Rotary Club, and you're obviously both proudly serving the Mendham community, I was so fortunate. My great friend Steve Alford, the Roxbury Rotary Club's been on a few times. Shout out to Stephen if he's listening on Facebook Live. But there's so many different so many different Rotary Clubs. If someone wants to reach out to the Mendham Rotary Club, how do they reach you guys?
Probably the easiest way is just type in Google Mendham Rotary Club, and that'll come to either our Facebook or our webpage. And we meet every other week, so anybody's welcome. Our plan, the approach is that we buy anybody dinner that wants to come. They can join us.
I'm getting hungry already.
Well,
so
you should come by.
Get my breakfast. I lost an hour of sleep. So,
the other thing, I haven't taken advantage of this, but a lot of the Rotarians in the club, if they're on vacation or away on business, they can just go to any meeting of any Rotary Club. Most communities have one, and they can stop in. Some do breakfast, some do lunch. We do dinner, but you're welcome as a fellow Rotarian.
What about the scope and breadth of the club? In terms of the different members, what's it like, Michael?
Well, I think I'm one of the youngest members. Some are in their 80s. And I think it was sort of seen as a sort of a conservative business club in the past. And maybe that even what it was. But that changed over time.
That's shaking his head
changed
now.
Changed a lot. It's changed a lot.
I think we have more women members now than
it's getting younger, I think. Yeah. It's getting younger, and there's certainly no political agenda, you know, either right or left on it. That's really important that we just focus on helping people, you know, regardless of anything.
Yeah, well, that's the beauty of the clubs. And that's one of the other things for the listeners. One of the reasons why I love just doing the show is to motivate people to try different things, to be part of the community, and to ultimately give back, because it is the journey of giving back in life. I think it's vitally important. But the other thing is the misconception. I think both you gentlemen share the same sentiments. There's a misconception. It's not just like, you know, a bunch of older gentlemen getting around in a room. You have a lot of different members, or a lot of ladies now are members, and different ages, right? Yeah, that's how it is?
It's evolved over time. And I think what we often say is that Rotary is a platform. so that the members come together at their local club. There's an infrastructure provided internationally and through the district, but you make your club what you want it to be. You pick the projects that you want to work on. So it can be international, can be very, very local. We're involved in some very local projects. The constant is Rotary International works on polio eradication and have been instrumental in that for decades. And part of we contribute to that every year as part of the mission of Rotary.
Wonderful. You know, Fred, you touched on your involvement with the Mendham Rotary Club. It sounded like more once you were retired, but you're really not retired, obviously. You're still working and doing your thing at Gil St. Bernard's now, teaching and doing a wonderful job there. Is the Mendham Rotary Club the first formal involvement you had in giving back?
Yeah, formally, in a formal way. That's the first time I've done it. And I was familiar with Rotary being in Mendham High School because they always used to sponsor an exchange student that came to the high school, which I thought was very good. And they had the monies for that and everything. But, like I said, it was, I didn't join much before Michael did, you know, probably just a couple years previous to him. And, we really enjoy it, my wife and I, and Michael touched on, I love the fact that it's a mixture of local and also international in terms of, how our help goes. You know, it's not only local, it's not only international. It's a good mixture of both. And one of the big things, right, is our scholarship fund.
Right. So, but was there something that you felt your life was missing and you decided that you wanted to give back? I mean, because no disrespect, I mean, you're a little bit older now.
A little bit.
But what made you decide as you got older that you were going to now start to give back?
Yeah, you get almost so involved in your own lives and your own professions. And then like you wake up and say, I should be doing more. Kind of thing. So it was almost like I realized that, you know, a lot of previous years, I probably could have done more, you know, other than just my job and, you know, helping people through my job. But it would be nice to do something above and beyond. So I kind of just came to that realization.
Right. So one of the wonderful things about the Mendham Rotary Club and all these different members I bring on from different clubs, different walks of life, so many different things in life you can do to give back. Service above self. I got so worked up doing my intro, I left that out. So I have to talk about service above self. Michael, did you know that mantra before you joined Mendham Rotary Club?
Not at all. All I knew when I came in was that it was a group that met and had dinner every week. You know, from the start, I really understood that it was so much more than that. And that there is this ethos about giving back. That it's, you know, when Rotary started in 1905, that's sort of been, even if it was just a men's club for having lunch, you know, the mission of service to the community was paramount, and right. That made it really attractive to me. Yes, it was great to meet people, different backgrounds in town, and connect to my town, but the service aspect was really important.
Yeah, but what does that mean? When you hear the mantra, the motto, service above self, what does that mean to you?
The mission is most important. So, yes, we get together, we have fun, but the mission of service is paramount for Rotary, and that's really what it's about.
So, Fred, you can't get off the hook, I have to ask you. But now you heard his answer, very thoughtful, very deliberative, and very
tough. Tough is the answer. I mean, you know.
We have to be like top to guess, but I'm saying. But what does that mean to you, service above self? Because for the listeners, I think that's a really important concept.
I mean, just what it says, you know, like you don't even think of the motto. Like, I don't really think of the motto, to be honest with you. I just think, like, let's do something to help people, you know, and that's what Rotary's all about, you know. So, we want more members, right, Michael?
We're always recruiting.
We want more members.
Todd, we're going to get you in.
Oh, my God. I don't know if your club will survive, though. I did get invited to the Roxbury Rotary Club, and they let me talk at a restaurant,
all
beautiful
right.
restaurant, La Strada.
Right.
I still think the club is in existence, so that's good. And obviously, I'm always ready for a nice dinner with a great bunch of people, too. So, Fred, I have to ask you, as I just realized, you know, Michael works with his wife at an incredible local firm.
Sure.
And you're also working with your wife,
In Rotary.
And what about professionally?
You know, I have a real estate license, and I was active in it for a while. I'm not as active. I've maintained a license. I'll maybe do a transaction a year or something like that for a friend. But usually, if I get a client, my wife will pretty much handle it. You know, so we do kind of work together, but she really is, she's a real estate guru. She's one of the best agents in the office, and she does a fantastic job. But when I left Mendham High, I did real estate exclusively for about 3 or 4 years. And then we worked very closely together.
Yeah, real estate also has its own little dynamics and extraordinarily stressful, too, at times for the realtors. I have a number of really good friends, Flor de Marie Thomas.
Sure, she's great.
Wonderful lady, and you know, well, she's a great friend. And
her husband, Jim, has been in our club.
He's in our club.
Years.
Yeah.
Yeah, wonderful people as well, and they've been giving back and doing wonderful things to lift up the community.
Tell your son that being a realtor is harder than being a basketball coach.
Right. Well, I'm going to say that I could imagine it probably will be, but I know that you don't have
not as much fun.
But, yeah, well, I know being a coach, though, sometimes the parents do give you a look if you don't make the right moves, you know. And shout out to my great friend Craig Lombardi, Sweet Lou, Bart, Tom Abezia, some wonderful coaches. They're having the Special Olympics basketball sectional tournament this weekend. So go Motown. They have a wonderful program, and I'm so privileged to be involved with Special Olympics sports through the arc of Orange County. Wonderful bunch of people. Yeah. And one of the most rewarding things is the athletes become great friends. Mm-hmm. I love the competition, but the spirit of camaraderie is unparalleled in Special Olympics. And then the parents, I mean, they're just so wonderful, so supportive. So that's why when I heard Fred, you know, with basketball.
Yeah, we hosted events at the high school, Special Olympic events at the high school in Mendham High. Yeah.
It's a wonderful program. But this touches on life's mysteries. There's so many different things you can get involved in to give back. So, Michael, I'm a little younger than Coach Fred Corona, but you're getting involved at a relatively younger age. And Fred later in life decided, right, it was time to do more to give back. And that's why the show, I think, is important, because whatever you're thinking about, you should try to get engaged in the community.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, I think that's vitally important. So there's so many different programs the Mendham Rotarian, the Rotary Club, gets involved in. You know, I think it's important to think about that's life. There's so many people in need with a hand. They need a hand up, not a hand out. So, Michael, in preparation for the show, I was, you know, trying to get a feel of, like, were there events, something that you felt was especially rewarding to you and your involvement? Have there been some events that touch your heart since you've been involved at the Mendham Rotary Club?
Yeah, one of the groups that we've worked with is the Jersey Battered Women's Shelter. And in summer of 2020, we had moved our meetings to Zoom, and we had gotten together in person on one of our members' decks, and we had about 100 backpacks that we bought, and we got supplies, so paper and pencils and all, you know, stuff the kids would need. So there's kids that were living with their moms at the Battered Women's Shelter, and we made sure that all of those kids had a fully stocked backpack. So it was wonderful that we got together. We broke our COVID quarantine to get together and have dinner on the deck and stuff these backpacks. But it was just great that we knew, you know, these kids were going to start school. This past summer as well, we did it, but we did it for snacks. So we had bags packed for these kids going to you know, it's tough that what these kids are going through, but they won't feel different because they'll have, you know, things that make life comfortable for them.
Well, God bless you. You know, and I think that's so beautiful what you're doing. We're going to take a short break and be right back in 30 seconds with Fred Corona and Michael Thompson, two wonderful guys.
The Todd Leonard Show is sponsored by the Leonard Foundation, whose mission is to support the children and families who are battling pediatric cancer and those in need of food and assistance, women's shelters, and other important social services in the community. They also proudly support those fighting pancreatic cancer. They feel it's vitally important to help those in need in our amazing community when they need us the most. Please join them in extending a helping hand and go to leonardcharity.org and donate now. Together, we can touch many lives.
Thank you again for coming back, and really a wonderful show we're having today with Fred Corona and Michael Thompson, two great guys, local guys, doing the right thing, making the world better. So, Michael, you were talking about the Battered Women's Shelter and helping them out and the kids. And this is another example of the beauty of the Rotary Club. I mean, you're doing really important things to help others. A lot of the listeners may not know, but you're doing that. I mean, you're making a difference in people's lives. And that's so, and God bless both of you for what you're doing, because that's important, you know, for the folks that need that help. I mean, that's a critical time in their lives. You know, who knows? I mean, that's a horrible thing to go through. Fred, I had asked Michael about something that stood out in his mind, and I thought that's critically important and really wonderful that you're helping families out that in crisis. Is there some things that stand out in your mind, Fred?
Oh, definitely. You know, what Mike said, I agree with. You know, part of Rotary is like you do a hands-on thing. Like, you don't just raise money. You actually go out and get your hands dirty and do certain things like putting together supplies, like Michael mentioned. But some of it is actually doing other things to raise money. And most people are probably familiar with Maggie Doyne, a local person who went to Mendham High School, who didn't go to college and ended up you know, choosing not to. She certainly was qualified to. And she went on a trip to Nepal, and she ended up founding an orphanage in a school out there. She has a foundation called Blink Now right out of Mendham High School. And we've raised money and contributed it to her school out there. She's done an amazing job. She has a couple books out there that people should read. And that's something, especially since it was a local person, but helping people in another part of the world who were disadvantaged, that Rotary did, that, you know, we're all proud of.
Well, you better get me like somewhat of a way to talk to Maggie Doyne. I got to drag her on the show.
Absolutely.
I mean, this is like great. This is,
yeah, she comes back to fundraise every few months. So you, it would be fantastic. But, I'm trying to think of The Other Side of the Mountain, I think was the name of the book. I can't remember the last book she wrote, but her foundation is called Blink Now, and she's just fantastic. She is.
Right. So, and you know something, Michael, we had also, you know, shared some things we might discuss today, but, about the Mendham Rotary Club, identifying a problem and joining together for solutions, because once again, people need to get together to solve a problem. It's not just one person, it's a group. What's the meaning behind that? When I asked you, like, what's some, you know, important things the club does, why'd you mention that?
And that was just a great project. It was small, only helped 100 kids, but for them, I think it was immense. So, you know, we can have a real impact in people's lives. It's not, maybe we're not changing the world, but for those kids, you know, they had a good first week of school because we were, what we were able to do.
Yeah, but, you know, this is something, this is my view of it. You don't know the impact you're going to have on some youngster's life who's down and out, they're scared. And obviously, the mothers obviously have a lot of, you know, a lot of stress. I mean,
sure.
You would just be realistic. I mean, if they're being battered and, you know, they need help. So that's something, you're lifting up someone. You're lifting up a family who needs that help. What about you, Fred? You know, when I'm starting to hear you talk about it, like a lot of hands-on stuff going on here with the Mendham Rotarians.
Yeah, I think it's a good mixture. Like, it's not, you know, most of us don't have the time to devote a 8 hours a day to doing hands-on stuff. But every once in a while, you can go out and maybe participate in a walk that helps raise money for something, or like Michael mentioned with the you know, the battered women and getting the supplies together. So, I mean, I think that's important to do.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, it involves you in it directly.
So how do you feel, Fred, when the organization gets together and there's an issue, there's a problem, there's a need, mm-hmm. and you're helping, you're solving that need? How does that make you feel?
Yeah, it makes you feel good. I mean, you never really know. I mean, even if you're not part of Rotary, even if you're not in an organization like that, you never realize, like, the little acts of, I guess, kindness that you do, the impact that it's going to have. I think all of us have that every day in our lives. You know, like, even if you're not part of an organization, you do something and you don't know where it's going to lead, and it may have results that you never even foresaw. So, you know, that's what you try to do just in your life. You know?
Right. Yeah, you know, I mentioned I had some wonderful folks on. It was a tragedy. Christy and Mika, very tragic accident. And I had the parents on, Chris and Laura. And they talked about kindness and how there's a ripple effect in life. Like, you guys just coming on today, I never met you both before. It's a privilege for me. It changes my life, and hopefully you guys aren't traumatized by the experience. But, I mean, hopefully there's still an invitation to come by and join the club. But, no, but, you know, on a serious note, when you do something nice for someone, you don't know, but in you're paying it forward. You're doing more. You know, there's a mantra, you know, Fred, that about if you have something in life and you're very fortunate, you should also pay it back and pay it forward and give back, right? If you have a lot, you should also have a big responsibility. What are your thoughts about that?
I mean, at Gill St. Bernard's, where I teach now, we really try to get that message across to our student body, and they're really good at it. You know, we kind of say all the time, it's not enough to be nice. You have to be kind. You know, being nice is okay, but you got to go one step further. You got to be kind.
Right. Yeah, there's a phrase, to whom much is given, much is expected. Much is expected. And that's as I kind of see the voyage, the journey of life. As you become maybe more successful, you have to realize that God is very, very much important in your life, and you have to give back and help others. You can't just worry about yourself, because there's a lot of very affluent people out there. But some folks with a lot of money candidly do nothing. A lot of people that have nothing give back a lot, but when you have someone who has a lot in life and they're really giving it back, it's a really a wonderful thing. What are your thoughts about that, Michael? Because you're also dealing with estate planning. You're dealing with very wealthy people. What's the charitable aspects of their lives and how you've seen that over the 25 years you've been in the law?
Yeah, I mean, I come from a working class background. My dad was the first person to go to college in his family, but I recognize that I have been the beneficiary of privilege, and that really has motivated a lot of what I've done, to at least be mindful of the privilege. And I have clients that do a lot of things. You know, they've built businesses, and we've helped them create foundations that do good work locally and all over the world as well. So it's just one aspect of what we do. It's, you know, it's part of the tax work, but it is a way for people of great deal of wealth to be able to build a legacy through a foundation that will outlive them and do good work into the future.
Absolutely. I mean, that's one of the really important things in life we always talk about. People ask me, why do I do the show? Because you have to give back. Right. This is one of the conduits for me, is to put the spotlight on folks like you, right, that are doing good work, not for the pat on the back, not for the accolades, because it's the right thing to do.
Yeah, we're not doing anything in our minds tremendous, certainly. Like, we're meeting every other week, and we're getting involved in little projects, and I think that's all you need to do. You know, you're not going to go out and change the world, like Michael said, but once in a while, do something to help people out.
So I think it's almost like, you know, as Fred said, being a basketball coach was more fun. You're embarrassed, right, to get paid.
Right.
You know, we don't concerned about the pats on the back. We're just having fun, yeah, hanging out with people that we enjoy.
It's a good group to hang out with, because you learn a lot. You learn a lot from people older than you, from people younger than you, from people who did different things in life than you did. And a lot of times the dinners are just you know, if the dinner's 2 hours long, maybe like 20 minutes or a half hour spent on Rotary stuff, and the other part's just, you know, having fun. So.
Right, right. I mean, I'm part of the 200 Club of Morris County, wonderful bunch of ladies and gentlemen, and we enjoy each other's company. They became great friends of mine, and this is the other beauty of why I always tell people, you should get involved in a club. There's so many different clubs out there. I mean, Lord knows, I mean, there's a zillion different clubs, but you gentlemen are talking about the Mendham Rotary Club and all the relationships you're building. And does it enrich your life, Michael, seeing all these different folks and learn? Do you learn from the members?
A lot. You know, it's part of our challenge is people my age and a little bit younger to get them involved in a civic organization. It's almost something that's gone by the wayside. But we're working with kids in high schools doing various projects. The Sharing Project is one where the kids get together, they plant a community garden, they teach other kids how to grow crops, and then they donate those crops to local food banks. So we're inspired by the younger generation, and maybe we're frustrated at times that people our age and younger don't want to get involved and come to meetings. But clearly the next generation coming up, they give us a lot of hope that's where the energy and the ideas are going to come from. So we don't need to be concerned.
Yeah, I mean, this is the other thing, too. You know, a lot of the public bashes the kids. Oh, the kids are all screwed up. They only care about themselves. But that's not true. Right. There's so many wonderful kids, so many programs that the kids are actually teaching the adults how to live a life. So I do agree. We're in a very good place. Of course, we could do better. But I think it's wonderful. Fred, what's your perspective when you see the young kids, like the Sharing Project, where they're young and they're getting introduced to the concept and doing it firsthand of giving back?
Yeah, and anybody who talks down about kids today, they're not around them enough. You know, kids today are fantastic. You know, people say kids have changed. Maybe parents have changed. Maybe grandparents have changed. But kids haven't changed. Kids are still great, and these kids are fantastic. They're our hope for the future.
No doubt about it. But Fred, what's your perspective when you see the high school kids spending the time to give back and to help?
I mean, it's fantastic. It shows that there's hope. And these kids have a world view, you know, that probably we didn't have when we were younger.
Well, the world's so connected. I mean, look, let's be realistic. Everybody's on their phones, unfortunately. But and social media, and everybody's kind of, you know, just connected a lot more. I mean, growing up, I mean, we didn't have any of these contraptions, you know. It wasn't like that. You know, we played sports. There was no iPads. There was no games. I mean, you know, video games, really. You just go and run around.
But it's really funny. Like in the past, before class would start, and there'd be a minute before class, you'd walk into the room. There'd just be a little hubbub. Everybody would be talking, a little bit of noise. Now, if you walk into a class a minute before class starts, every single kid is on their phone.
Yeah.
Every single kid.
I think the
They're
parents
talking
too.
To each
I
other.
Think it's pretty bad.
The parents
too.
Are also.
I think the parents also are all involved in it, too.
Yeah.
So, Fred, you know, one of the things you also mentioned in advance is a memorable experience with the antique show. So what's that all about that made it memorable?
I had never really been involved in it before as a Rotarian. In the past, I would go to it because I knew it supported a good cause. You know, I never really was that interested in the antiques, but I would go to it and walk around. It was right at Mendham High School, so it was very convenient. And then when I joined Rotary and we started doing it, I was amazed at the work that went into it. You know, man, you guys did this every year for all these years. It was fun. It was fun to do with the high school. I don't think we're doing that so much in the future anymore because we have a different direction now that we'll probably talk about later as this time goes on. But I thought for a number of years it was a really profitable event for Rotary, and it really helped help us do things that we wanted to do afterwards.
So they were selling antiques to raise money?
We would sell spots.
Sell spots.
So it was an institution in town for over 20 years that dealers would come year after year. We would charge them a fee to participate. And it was very successful. But since it was done in the high school, since COVID, we haven't been able to get that space.
Wonderful.
So we've had to look for other ways to raise money for the scholarships.
Yeah, no, great. I mean, I like to do antiquing. I used to really like to go and look for the treasure. You know, no one knows.
Right.
It's a very valuable piece.
In the later years, we combined it with an art show. So we had art there in addition to antiques.
Yeah, a lot of my art, well, we'll use the term loosely, ends up in my basement. hasn't passed the test. It hasn't made it to the main house, but maybe one day. I'm not sure if that's ever going to happen or not. There's so many different things going on with the Rotary Club. Michael, maybe you can touch on some things that's kind of like some current initiatives that your club is focused on to raise funds and raise awareness.
Yeah, they're sort of the constants. So we always are contributing financially to soup kitchens and to the community food bank. And I guess the other constant is our scholarships for college-bound seniors at Westmore's Mendham High School and Gil St. Bernard's as well. So that's been sort of an institution that we've been involved with. This year, we're going to do a project at the Pitney Park in Mendham Township. We're going to contribute and do a working day to help improve that. That's a new park that was put in on the old Pitney Farm. But right now, our focus primarily is on our scholarships.
So how does it work when you guys, you and when I say guys, I mean that ladies and gentlemen, of course, but how do you make a decision what projects you're going to engage in? I mean, is it kicked around in a meeting?
Kicked around at a meeting. Yeah. And you know, If somebody has a special project that they'd like, they bring it up, and you know, we see how much funds we have, how much is needed. We also, if there's ever a catastrophe like an earthquake or something like that, we try to contribute to that also, you know, to help out the people that are impacted by that. But it's just the way you think. You know, you bring it up and you talk about it, and yeah, we'll do A, B, and C, and maybe we'll put D on hold for a while and see what happens.
Wonderful. And Michael, for the listeners again, if they want to reach out to the Mendham Rotary Club, how do they do it?
Just go into Google and type Mendham Rotary Club and they'll come right to us.
Wonderful. Great. So are there other projects now? I know there's, I guess, some type of gym floor sale. I was trying to get my hands around exactly
what's going
on with the gym floor.
Mendham High School unfortunately had a pipe burst this summer and it ruined the entire gym floor. And this was like in August, right, just before school started, the worst possible time. So they did a great job. The administration of the school did a great job of getting people in, getting the insurance money, and getting the floor fixed in time for basketball season. But when they tore up the old floor, they were nice enough to cut it up into pieces, maybe about a foot long and 2 or 3 inches wide, not very big. And they gave us a bunch of them that we could sell to people who would like a piece of memorabilia, and we would use the money to fund our scholarships. So right now at a bunch of our houses, there's containers full of pieces of the gym floor, and we've sold a good number of them already. A lot of graduates from the school. I was at a class reunion, and a whole bunch were bought, but there's a lot available because it's a big gym floor, and we're selling them for, if you're local, I think you can just stop by and pick it up for $10. And if you're not local, well, you know, with the cost of shipping and all that kind of stuff, I think it's going to be like $25 if you want it.
Where do you pick them up at?
That's a good question.
Pick them up Fred's house.
My house. I have a ton of them. Michael has a ton of them. I'm at 34 Mountain Avenue, or you could just Google me, you know, Gil St. Bernard, you'll find an email address. And yeah, we have a ton of them. I'm in the trunk of my car right now.
Oh, man, there you go.
I'll give you one before.
A little parting present. Right. Pretty cool. You gentlemen talk about the scholarships. Why scholarships? What's the genesis of that?
I don't know the genesis of it. It's just something that's been done for years and years. But it's just amazing. We did last year, Wes Morris has a presentation where the Lions Club, Kiwanis, gives checks to the kids. And we were fortunate. We gave the most of any of the groups. We gave out over $10,000 of scholarships, $8,000 of scholarships last year to four kids. And the key thing is the criteria for the scholarship is need, but also service-related resume for the kids. And we usually have, you know, 20 kids that apply, and their resumes are amazing. What they're able to do, you know, football and band and volunteer at a soup kitchen. So these kids they're heavily scheduled, and they get a lot done. And so we want to recognize that and make sure that they're going to school, that they're going to have some extra money in their pocket to help deal with books or just snacks or whatever would make their life a little more comfortable as they transition, away to this new part of their life.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, that's great. I mean, you're getting to see also firsthand what these wonderful kids are doing for their balance in life.
Yeah.
Their balance in life, not simply to get it so they, you know, they're getting a bar mitzvah or, you know, they need it for some other to build a resume, but they're actually giving back and doing the right thing.
And any person who gets it has done something for their community, you know, has had a service-oriented aspect to their high school career. It's not given to the kid with the highest GPA. You know, it's given to somebody who does service and has an element of need.
Do you ever hear back from these wonderful kids about how you've help them?
We do. In fact, there's a few that every year send us a check. So maybe we gave them $1,000, but they've given us back 10 times that.
Really?
Over time that they've, no, we help them get started in life and they give back and play it forward to kids that are coming up behind them.
The other thing, and Charlie, our camera person here, wonderful, wonderful person, and helping me immeasurably with the camera work, is young, and you know, obviously there's folks that, you know, want to know about these programs, but this goes back to the scope and breadth of the Mendham Rotary Club. As I know, when we get together at the 200 Club, you know, it's a cross-section of the public, mostly business folks, but all different walks of life. But the ages are so disparate, I mean, which is wonderful because, you know, if the club gets too old, you need some new folks, new ideas. Fred, what's your perspective on that when you see the younger people getting involved with the club?
Oh, it's exactly what you want to see. You know, we all get older. And as you get older, you don't want things dying out. So the more we can bring into the younger generation, the better it is, actually.
No doubt about it. I think it's important. I would be remiss. I mean, you got a big tasting coming up. But what's happening with wine and tequila? Because a few of the listeners, I mean, you know, they might like to have a tasty refreshment.
A little simple. So,
yeah. What's that about, the wine and tequila tasting?
Yeah. So we can't do the antique show this year. And so what we came up with, Fred actually came up with this idea. He had attended one supporting the Chester Library. And we're going to do it right at the community club right in Brookside in Mendham Township. And we're going to have a number of local vendors that are going to be providing their wares. We're going to have food. We'll have music. And it'll be a way for folks to get together, taste some things that are interesting. And because it's happened on Cinco de Mayo, we added not just a wine tasting, but a tequila tasting as well.
Oh my, hold on now. We might have to, you might need to get the rideshare companies on speed dial for those thirsty patrons.
And hopefully it's a nice weather day. They'll have a cigar station outside and we'll be able to spread out into the outside area. So we're very, very excited about it. The one I attended, which is being run by the same, liquor store and tell me the name again. I forgot.
Sandy's.
Sandy's in Flanders, which is fantastic. They ran the last one and, there were so many tables for wine tasting, and we're going to have food there that's donated by local restaurants. So it should be a fantastic night. I don't think we're going to have any difficulty, selling out the capacity.
Tickets will be $70.
Yeah, tickets are $70, and that's inclusive of absolutely everything. Get an Uber to pick you up if you want, just to be safe. And, you don't get that much wine. You just get a little bit and you can go to as many stations as you want. And my wife and I went to the one in Chester. I mean, we had a great time.
Fred, you have a little twinkle in your eye. I'm starting to think that you're already, you might be training for this event.
This is going to be a fun night.
Yeah. It's funny. You say just a little bit of this and a little bit of that, but by the time you're done, it might add up.
Be careful.
I've never done a wine tasting. A little scotch tasting. A tequila, never formally went on one of those kind of, sounds like a fun event.
You'll have bourbon there too.
Bourbon.
Yeah, you'll have bourbon there also. Yeah,
very
absolutely.
Nice.
Yeah.
It sounds
so,
like I might
have to put
that on the calendar.
Cinco de Mayo.
I'm ready. Believe me.
It's a good time. Awesome
Friday night, I think, isn't it?
Friday night. Cinco de Mayo for the kids.
A good time will be had by all. Gentlemen, the money that's raised, do you also, talk about where you're going to put that money? Because it sounds like you got some wonderful programs. How is that discussed?
It's democratic. I mean, we just, people bring ideas to the table. We talk about them. There may be something in the news. After the hurricane in Florida in the fall, we sent money down to the local Rotary Club there that was doing recovery work. So it's just whatever is maybe topical or just a passion of someone. I think that's how we got involved with the Battered Woman Shelter. One of our members had been a volunteer there, and we've had a relationship with them going forward. So it's a new year. A new idea may come, and we'll support that if it makes sense. It fits with our mission.
My wife's a big animal lover. She's going to push for something involving that at some point, I think.
Oh my God, my engineer MK, she'll be jumping up and down. She loves her animals. I mean, she does. Like she's all juiced up. Yeah. No, but isn't that the wonderful thing? Is so many people have different interests, and whatever you're into. This is why the show, I think, is. I'm a little bit biased on it, but it's an opportunity. Michael, what are your thoughts about that? So, we never met each other, before today. And I have the show, The Journey of Giving Back. It's just about people doing the right thing when no one's looking, just doing it, What are your thoughts about, and you're not going to pontificate, but just, your own advice for the listeners, because it's always good to get different people's perspectives on volunteerism and giving back. What are your thoughts on that?
There's great need. And I think it is a time where people are maybe less involved. So the opportunities to get involved are probably greater than ever. So if you get involved at your local, you know, Rotary Club or the church or, you know, there's all kinds of things going on, the soup kitchens, there's great need. And I think you could just show up. There may be a day you can help load lunch bags. You know, there's always something going on, and it's not that hard just to find out and get involved with the time that you may have.
Right. Before I ask Fred the same question, what do you think about the value giving back has had in your life?
You know, it's fulfilling. You know, it's not something I set out to do with that as a goal. But it's, the journey of this has been just enriching for me, to participate, to meet people, to engage with people. And it's been a lot of fun.
Fred, what about you? What's your perspective on giving back and helping others?
I think like all of us, like, you know, Michael in his job as a lawyer, you in your job as a lawyer, like you give back as part of your profession also. You know, as a teacher, you give back. No matter what you do out there, there's parts of that where you enrich people's lives just by doing your job, you know, and that's important. But if you couldn't do something extra, like Michael said, like there's need for other things, it's not that we're doing like so much extra. Like we're just normal people just trying to do one extra thing maybe. And, you know, if you can do that, that'd be great.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that once again, you don't have to do your take on the whole world.
Yeah, right.
Though some people do. Some people change the world.
It's Maggie, incredible. Somebody like Maggie. Yeah.
So we got to get Maggie on
right.
the show.
Absolutely.
I'm already loving it. Maggie, if you're listening or you're going to listen, you got to join us. Before I let both of you gentlemen go, Michael, what's your goals from a volunteerism perspective? Do you have any goals right now?
My only real goal, I think, is to expand our club, to get new people in, expand our reach, more people, we can do more. And as I said, there's a lot of need out there. And if we can get many hands, we'll lighten the work. And that's really our goal right now.
Wonderful. How about you, Fred?
You know, same thing. Michael's done an unbelievable job as our president, and we've gotten new members, we've got younger members, but we need more. Like, if you're in the Mendham area, the Chester area, please come out. Please join us. Just have fun at the restaurant. If you don't want to join after seeing us, you're like, you know, I don't like these people, don't join. But at least come, give us a chance, and, you know, buy a piece of the gym floor and come to the wine tasting.
Yeah, I'm going to have to, when you guys leave, I got to get a piece
All right.
of the floor.
All right. Okay.
I mean, I might have to have your autograph, the legendary basketball.
Then it's less. Then it's $9.
Oh, no, for my guy, Hank Enright. Henry Enright.
Oh, yeah.
I'm have to get
Henry will love it. Henry will love it.
He will really go bananas.
Absolutely.
Over that.
Yeah.
We just had a holiday party in March. We weren't able to get together, unfortunately. I know that sounds weird, but I'm going to give him one of these. All He'll right. be that floor. He's going to love that.
All right.
So Michael, one last thought. In life, you're on the journey. Can you just give us a quick overview on, really short, just your perspective if a listener is thinking about doing something? What would be your advice?
Just show up. I mean, really, it's that. It's, you know, take the first step, get involved. You know, you don't have to, it's not an over a large commitment, but there's places in your neighborhood all around. Just show up.
Just show up. And Fred, do you think just showing up is the
best? Yeah, I mean, I'm not a deep thinker on that kind of stuff, but there's like a famous quote on that. Like the best thing to do is just show up, something like that. You know, if you're there, things will come to you, things will happen, but you got to be there to start.
Right. So once again, gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me
thanks,
on the
man.
Journey of Giving Back. And for the listeners, please like, you know, the show, the Todd Leonard Show. Go on the Facebook page. You have a question, you have someone you think should be on the show, send me an email, todd@toddleonardshow.com. I would be so honored to have someone join us. These guys today are what it's all about. It's showing up and doing things, doing something. Whatever your heart tells you to do, do it. You know, in life, we're all busy, but your life will be so rewarded. And what you have no idea about is when you put your hand out and hand up and help others that are in need, not only you're helping that person, you're helping yourself. So think about that. We're all in this together. Let's all make the world better. I know that sounds like a cliche, but we really can. That's the only reason why I do the show is to make the world better. God bless you all, and please tune in again to the Todd Leonard Show, Journey of Giving Back. God bless.
The Todd Leonard Show is sponsored by the Leonard Foundation, whose mission is to support the children and families who are battling pediatric cancer and those in need of food and assistance, women's shelters, and other important social services in the community. They also proudly support those fighting pancreatic cancer. They feel it's vitally important to help those in need in our amazing community when they need us the most. Please join them in extending a helping hand and go to leonardcharity.org and donate now. Together, we can touch many lives.